instructs us to do. And I was getting instructed to sing that song, "You Deserve the Glory," from the time I woke up today morning. And even as we worship the Lord, even as the people declare, let's think about it. When was the last time you told the Lord you are Lord of all creation? You rule the heaven and earth. When was the last time you declared it by faith, from your heart? When we declare it, that Lord is Lord over all creation, it strips apart the enemy who thinks that he is going to be the Lord. He is going to be God. And the Lord instructed me to sing the song. When I started to sing the song, I understood that he is stripping the principalities, even as we worship him with those prophetic songs. Hallelujah. Okay. Anyways, we will continue with the word. And we will continue with the word. We will continue with the word. So, as you remember, we were on the gift of prophecy, and I was showing you from the scripture how vast is the gift of prophecy is. Yeah. And then I told you that the Holy Spirit decided to explain it to us through 10 points, through 10 aspects of the gift of prophecy. And then last time I ended on the 8th one, if you remember, and the 8th one was the gift of prophecy can be a temporary impartation. So we looked at that. We looked at Saul. Then we looked at how God took the anointing of Moses and gave it to the 70 elders, and they prophesied, never again to prophesy. Only that time they prophesied. So many people are confused. You know, some people speak of God sometimes, then they don't. They speak of the flesh. How can they speak of God sometimes? And then they don't speak of God because there is a temporary impartation. They have not received the gift really. They have received a temporary impartation. Okay, we will proceed from there. And let's come to the 9th aspect of the gift of prophecy. The 9th aspect of the gift of prophecy, I'm not going to take that in detail. But let me explain, because it will take so long. So I'm just going to wind it up with a few explanations. The 9th aspect of the gift of prophecy is the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet are two different areas of operation. The gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet are two different areas of operation. So the gift, what I'm saying is the gift of prophecy is different, and the office of a prophet, the calling of the prophet, is different. Like Jeremiah was a prophet. He was called by the Lord to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow nations. That was the authority of a prophet. He was a prophet to the nations. Isaiah was a prophet to the nations, but his main area of his prophetic ministry was to reveal Christ in parables. Remember when he encountered the Lord in Isaiah 6? His lips were touched with the coals of fire, and God said, "Who will go for me?" He said, "I will go," after his lips were sanctified. And God said, "Okay, go and preach. Hearing they will not hear, seeing they will not see, for their eyes will be closed, their ears will be heavy of hearing you." So he was a prophet that was revealing the Messiah in parables, and people would not understand it. So that is prophetic ministry. That is the office of a prophet. But in the last days, the Bible says that the Lord will pour the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, that even your sons and daughters may prophesy. So if a child prophesies, that does not mean the child is in the office of the prophet. The child is operating in the gift of the prophet. Now, if you want to look at the office of the prophet, the office of the prophet is not basically prophesying and telling about the lives of people. The office of the prophet consists of different categories. One is intercession, that he intercedes on behalf of people. Second is spiritual warfare. He fights with the powers of darkness. He fights with principalities with the help of angels. What Daniel used to do in the book of Daniel, he was a prophet. He was in the office of the prophet, but he never told about the lives of people. But what he did was intercession, prayer, revealing of visions and mysteries. That was spiritual warfare. He used to bring down principalities, collaborating with angel Gabriel and Michael in the book of Daniel. So those are the ministries, the functionaries of a prophet. I will not go. I have taken those sermons. You can go and search out those sermons by the name prophetic ministry or intercession ministry, you will find sermons on that on the channel. I don't have time, it will go long, but let me give you a gist of the prophetic ministry. A prophet operates in the first function of an intercessor, intercedes on behalf of people. Second, he does spiritual warfare. Are we together? He does warfare. He knows which prince is controlling which nations. He has eyes to see. He has the ability to do warfare. And then he teaches and trains the church in the same. He trains the hands of warriors for war. A prophet is also a teacher in the area of spiritual warfare. Are we understanding? The third thing he does is he is a watchman. He stays awake in the spirit. So if anything that is coming against the body of Christ, anything that is coming against the nation, and the Lord alarms him through dreams, through visions, through encounters, he functions as a watchman. He functions as a watchman, not only to see things that are going to come, but even to proclaim it. Even to say it out. So he functions as an intercessor. He functions as a warrior in spiritual warfare. And at the same time, he has a teaching ministry. He trains the hands of believers for warfare. And then a prophet has a watchman functionary where he has to stay alert, where he has to be in the spirit. Hallelujah. And the most important thing the prophet does is he stays close to God, intimate to God. He tries to find out what is in the mind of God by seeking the Lord. Those are the functionary of the prophetic ministry of a prophet, the calling of the prophet. So the gift of prophecy is different. You can be a pastor, but you can still operate in the gift of prophecy. Are you understanding? You don't have to be a prophet. You can be an evangelist. You can be a believer. You can still operate in the gift of prophecy. A believer, everyone can operate. That's why Apostle Paul said that desire for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. He is not telling you all of you become, you are prophets. He's telling people that operate in the gift of prophecy. That is not a prophetic calling, but you operate in the gift of prophecy. An evangelist, a believer, a praise and worship leader can sing prophetic songs. He can prophesy. He's operating in the gift of prophecy. Are we together? So the gift of prophecy and the office of the prophet are two different areas of operation. In the last days, the Holy Spirit will give everyone the ability to prophesy. I told you what is prophecy already, taking things from the heart of God and releasing it and declaring it. And there are many definitions. So the Holy Spirit will give ability to intercessors to prophesy, because it says, I will pour out my spirit in the last days and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Okay, so I will not go much into that. I've already explained those revelations in this point. And let's go to the next one now. Very important. Let's go to the next one. And this is the last, the 10th aspect of prophecy. Prophecy in the demonic kingdom. Write it down. Prophecy in the demonic kingdom. Now, before I start with prophecy in the demonic kingdom, I am not going to go in detail. If you want to look at how prophecy operates and what is prophecy in the demonic kingdom, go and refer to my previous sermons. You know, those are long ones. So I am not going to take everything, but I am going to take only what the Holy Spirit told me to take in this context, in the gifts of God. So there are also sermons. You can search out the error of the foolish prophets on the YouTube. You will find out a sermon, the error of the foolish prophets. So you will see me explaining about false prophets. You can also see Balaam the sorcerer, something called as Balaam. There are many sermons related to Balaam. So you can find out who are the false prophets. How does actually in detail what is demonic prophecies and all those things in those sermons. But let me go on the way of revelation that God showed me so that I can speak in context of the gifts of God. So there is also the gift of prophecy in the demonic kingdom. Turn with me to Daniel chapter number 2. Okay, let's go to Daniel chapter number 2. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Let's start off from verse number 1. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. Then the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Now stop there. What did the king do when he had a dream? He gave the command to call who? The magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, that is other areas of occultic. The king gave command to those people to come and explain him the dream. Now we will go to other verses, but listen to me. How did ancient kingdoms functioned? Ancient kingdoms functioned on the basis of the demonic occultic altars. Whenever the king wanted a council, whenever the king has to take important decisions, he will not consult the business experts. He will not consult the logistic experts. He will not consult the doctors, the scientists. He will consult those who worship the devil. He will consult those who serve at the altar of demons. Are you understanding? That is how ancient kingdoms functioned. You will ask me, brother, but in our modern times, we don't function like that. To your surprise, I want to tell you the truth. Not only ancient kingdoms, but even today, every kingdom, every government is not on the top. There are people behind the government who are devil worshippers, who control the nations, who control the government. There are principalities. We don't see it because everything has been modernized and urbanized and everything. But what happened during the ancient times? How Babylon was functioning, how Babylon was governed. Babylon was governed by the group of wise men. Who were the wise men? The sorcerers, the magicians, the diviners, and all sorts of people who operate in the demonic offices. How Egypt operated. Who were the ones standing around and who were close to the king Pharaoh, the king of Egypt? The magicians, the sorcerers, the diviners. These are the ones. You look at Syria, even Syria, the ancient Syria, they functioned like that. Every ancient, how ancient Israel functioned? Ancient Israel, who were the people around Ahab giving him counsel? The prophets of God. We will come to that. So every kingdom, we don't think that business experts and industrialists are managing the world and they are managing the economy and all those things. Don't think like that. The reality is sorcerers, diviners, those who operate in demonic prophetic gifts, they are the ones who are governing nations. Hallelujah. People of God, tonight, if you are there here with the Lord, shout a big amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Stay with me. Amen. We are looking at the prophecy in the demonic. Okay? So here is whenever we will come to other scriptures to tell you that, but let's see in Daniel 2 that when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, whenever anything happens, we will see in the next chapters, he will call the magicians, the sorcerers. Even though Daniel answered him this dream, even though after that, you will see Nebuchadnezzar's first preference are the magicians, are the sorcerers, are the people who operate in the demonic. All right? So, verse number 3. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Now, listen to this scripture. I am reading it out, okay? Very carefully. I'm going to tell you something about it. Verse number 3, it says, And king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans, that is all those wise men, those sorcerers and everyone, spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. That is what they can do. Tell your, now. What revelation, I want to tell you something now about the demonic prophecy, about the first aspect of the demonic prophecy. Some people are exactly able to tell about what is going to happen, and it happens. That does not mean he is a prophet of God. I will tell you the secret of the demonic prophecy. So King Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I had a serious dream. My spirit is so anxious. My heartbeat is fast. I am getting palpitations. I am not able to stay. I want to know the interpretation. So the people, the wise men, the sorcerers, tell us the dream and we will tell you the interpretation. But what did Nebuchadnezzar do? Verse number five. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made an ash heap. However, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time has changed. Therefore, tell me the dream and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. I want to ask you a question. Why Nebuchadnezzar wants the dream along with the interpretation? Because these sorcerers, listen to me, stay with me. These sorcerers, magicians, false prophets, there are soothsayers in the group. Those are the prophets in the demonic. Prophets in the demonic are called soothsayers. They are the one who tell the future, predict the future, or diviners. Stay with me. Now, my question to you is, people of God, why is Nebuchadnezzar telling them, I don't want the interpretation. I want the dream and the interpretation. Why is he saying that? Because he has been there with these guys a long time. And he knows how these guys operate. You know how these guys operate? They will only prophesy about the event that they themselves orchestrate at the first place. If they have not orchestrated and designed something with the devil and they, the spirits and they have not designed and orchestrated something, they cannot prophesy about that thing. When God orchestrates something to happen on the face of the earth, it is hidden from the sorcerer, from the sorcerers and the soothsayers. That is the meaning. That is the reason why Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I don't want the interpretation, because if you want to give the interpretation after I give you the dream, you have decided, I know you are corrupt. You are lying. I want to see the power you guys carry. Have you, the thing that I have saw, seen in my dream, I want to see if you can tell me about it. Hallelujah. Stay with me. That is the first revelation I want to give you about the demonic prophecy. Prophecy in the demonic kingdom by false prophets is based on the events planned by them and by the devil. They cannot know and perceive what God has ordained. Are we understanding? Only a true prophet can tap into it. What God has ordained. What God will do. They cannot know what God will do tomorrow. They can only depend on their pre-plan. I was listening to a genuine testimony, a documentary. And this guy was a ex-Satanist. I don't listen to those documentaries, but the law, I listened to it, the complete documentary, because I knew this guy was real and he was an ex-Satanist and he had a high ranking in Satan's kingdom before he came to Christ. And they used to I will not take the name of the places, escort him to the meetings. Before every year, these guys meet and Satan meets and they decide world events. They decide who will win the football World Cup. They decide everything. They pre-plan everything. In sports, in business, in I'm not telling you story, this is real. In sports, in business, in politics, then what riots have to be held, what agendas have to be carried out, what diseases have to spread. They orchestrate everything, they plan everything, they schedule dates. They schedule dates. And then he was saying, instead of believers shouting Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and drinking alcohol, they don't know what's happening by the end of the year. They are scheduling events before the year begins. And instead of doing that, Christians have to pray in the spirit. Because he was there among them, one of them. Listen to me. And then he was saying, there was a prophet who passed away. God took him out because he was not of God. And he destroyed and killed many people. And he prophesied in the 2012 football, before the 2012 football final, exactly who will win, exactly which time the penalty shootout and all those things prophesied. And everyone was. And exactly those things happened. And then he was saying, this guy was in the same meeting when the final of the football match was orchestrated. He said, God will not is God has much business to do. He is not into football things and all those things. God will not talk about all those things. Are you understanding? Demonic prophecy comes because they have planned it already. An event that is already planned by them, they can say about it. But the event that is not planned by them, they cannot talk about it. Who planned this event? And then they know there is a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he is the Lord of all. He controls the earth. His plans are higher than their plans.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Believers don't understand that. Believers don't rise because they don't understand spiritual things, spiritual realities, that the world is orchestrated by demonic altars. Events are orchestrated by demonic altars. If we are not seeking the Lord and getting the plans of the Lord to execute by the prayer intercession ministry and by the prophetic ministry, the devil will continue to do what he has planned. Hallelujah. Do we understand that demonic prophecy is in the demonic kingdom is based on the events planned by them, they themselves, and they cannot know and perceive what God will do and God is going to do. That's why Nebuchadnezzar knew these guys, and that's why he told them, you know what? I will not tell you the dream. If you are so wise and you pretend to be powerful and know mysteries, tell me the dream. And what did they say? Okay, my page is turned off. Where we were? Daniel chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. So,
Yes.
verse number 10. Verse number 10. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a things of any magicians, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. So this is beyond our power. This is beyond our understanding. This is beyond our limits. We do not know what is this and what is the dream. Hallelujah. Only God knows. But there was a man there called Daniel, a worshiper of the true and living God, the one who prayed to Jehovah. He is the one whom God revealed the mystery. God revealed the dream. And then through that, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged God, the God that Daniel worshiped, is higher than the gods of Babylon, is higher than the gods of Shadrach, sorry, of the magicians, of the sorcerers, of the astrologers. Hallelujah. There is a differentiation. The prophetic will tell you, the real prophetic will tell you, there is a God who is higher than the gods of this world, because what he does is hidden from the demonic. What he does is hidden from the high-level sorcerers and Satanists and Satan worshippers. Hallelujah. Even if they plan the destruction of the world, they don't know tomorrow what God will do to them. That is how powerful our God is. Hallelujah. And you will know this if you tap into the mystery realm, if you tap into the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you understanding? That is the first revelation of the demonic prophecy I want to give you. The demonic prophesiers or prophesiers or sorcerers or soothsayers or diviners, they can only prophesy what is planned by them in their meetings. They can only say those things. But to say the things that are ordained by God, it's out of their reach. They can never do it. Some more examples to give you how kingdoms and nations are controlled by demonic prophets. To show you that in Genesis chapter number 41. Genesis chapter number 41. This is another example I want to give you of what I am speaking. Genesis chapter number 41, verse number 8. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams. Now your Pharaoh is even telling them the dream. Okay. But there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. How could they interpret them? Because they are not the one who orchestrated it. It came from God. And Pharaoh had to look for someone who could interpret. And there was a man, a young man in the prison cell, in whom was the spirit of the living God, who could talk to God, who could communicate with God himself, the only God who rules heaven and earth, not the God of Egypt, not the Ra or the Pharaoh of Egypt, but the God who made heaven and earth, who even made the Pharaoh, who even made the Egypt, that God whose wisdom is high above the wisdom of sorcerers and diviners and of the occultic and of spirits and of entities and of principalities. He is high above all of them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I want to prophesy to the body of Christ. There are coming times where Josephs will be picked up from the prison cells, and where Daniels will be picked up from the secret place. They are not famous today. People don't know them. But there will come a time where things could not be interpreted, and these guys will come out and they will interpret and show the wisdom of God, manifest the wisdom of God to the nations of the earth. Hallelujah. And kings and queens will bow down. Hallelujah. Okay. So that is how God orchestrates. Hallelujah. He keeps a man for so long in the wilderness. And the man, maybe you are thinking, oh, my ministry is not growing. I am not becoming a mega church. Stay there. God has kept you for a special event. God has kept you for a special event. And he's training your hands in those gifts right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Okay. Genesis chapter number 7. Also Genesis. Let's see what I've written there. Genesis chapter number 7. And okay. No, let's skip that one. We will go to the next. Let's skip that one. We will go to the next revelation of the demonic gift. Okay. The next revelation of the demonic gift is soothsaying. Soothsaying. Okay. Who was Balaam? Balaam was not a servant of God. Many relate to Balaam as the one who heard God. He heard God because he would communicate with spirit, and God is a spirit being. But he is higher than other spirit beings. But God decided to speak to him because God obstructed him to come against his people Israel. So there were special conditions. To look at that, I will not go into those things. You can look at my sermon on Balaam the sorcerers, and there are other sermons also on the website, on the YouTube channel and Spotify. So you can look up those things. But turn with me to Joshua chapter number 13. Joshua chapter number 13, verse number 22. The children of Israel also killed with the sword Balaam the son of Beor, the soothsayer. Who was he? The soothsayer among those who were killed by them. So he was not a servant of God. He was a soothsayer. He was a soothsayer. So I am coming to the next aspect of the demonic prophecy. Soothsaying or demonic prophecy is the speakings of seducing spirits. Write it down. What are those? Soothsaying is the utterances or the prophecy that comes from which spirits? Seducing spirits. Now, those who have heard my series on the series of God's wisdom, you know that God's wisdom is a spirit which can be found at the altar of God. And there is a counterfeit to the spirit of wisdom. The counterfeit to the spirit of wisdom is called a seducing spirit. Are we together? So let me say things about soothsaying. The first thing I want to say about soothsaying is speaking by what? By the utterance of seducing spirits. Balaam used to do that. We will see that. Secondly, soothsaying is the ministry to serve mammon. What is that? Soothsaying, that is demonic prophecy. When I say soothsaying, you should consider that I am talking about demonic prophecy. Okay? Soothsaying is the ministry to serve who? To serve mammon. You know who is mammon? Who is the spirit of mammon? Lucifer himself. Because how does he rule the world? By giving people wealth. Those who are hungry for wealth, they are. So I will not come into those things. He is the mammon, actually. And mammon is the biggest power. You know why people sell their souls? Why people participate in the satanic? The only one reason is mammon. Wealth. They want money. And soothsaying is the ministry that serves money. Nothing in soothsaying can be done without money. If they want to give a prophecy, they want mammon. The spirit of soothsaying, that is a seducing spirit, will not speak until the person who wants to receive a prophecy puts wealth into the altar of soothsayers. That's why you will encounter some people who will say, I cannot pray for you, cannot give you the prophecy. I have something that God wants to speak to you, but until you send me $10,000, I will not speak that off. But when you send $10,000, then he will start to speak, because he is carrying out a ministry that is serving mammon. That is how you can know. There are demonic tithes and offering. There are godly tithes and offering. The way of demonic tithes and offering is a different way. The way of demonic tithes and offering, that if you want something, you give something. If you want this, then there is another price you have to pay. But I want to tell you, Jesus has paid the price for you on the cross. And what you are giving to God now, it's not you are giving to do a transaction. You are giving out of a grateful heart, because you are telling Jesus, Lord Jesus, you know what? You have done it all for me. All that I have, all my money, not only 10%, everything is yours. But Lord, to show my gratitude, I am giving you the tithes and offering into your kingdom to bless your holy name. Hallelujah. It's not a transaction you are carrying out. It's you are giving unto the Lord out of gratitude, any which ways. But there are such things. But let me come to what I was saying. Soothsaying is a ministry to serve mammon. It's a ministry to serve mammon. Then you have another problem. They will say another thing that you have to give. Maybe it may be something, sometimes money. Maybe it may be sometimes your car. It can be your property. It can be a house. It can be something else. It can be a, it can be blood. It can, it, there has to be something that they will receive to give you something back. That is how the devil is. He will never give you anything for free. Never ever. There will be a price that you have to pay. There will be a price that you have to pay. Soothsaying is the ministry to serve mammon. And if I go to Balaam, I can show you how when the price was increased, he again went and said, can I go with them? First of all, he was saying, I am a servant of God. I am this, I am that. I will not go even if you give me half of your property. I will not listen. And a little offer was increased. And then he said, okay, let me go and again check out. Can I come with you or not? Because he was a soothsayer. He served mammon. He did nothing without money. He took diviner's fee to give curses against the enemies of that of Balak. The next thing I want to say about soothsaying is, soothsaying is done to please men and to win the hearts of men and satisfy their hearts. Soothsaying is done to please men and to win the hearts of men and to satisfy their hearts, that is their desires. So if you want something outside of the will of God, your flesh wants it, you go to a soothsayer. Because they are the one who satisfy the desires of the flesh of people. Are you understanding? For example, Balak. Balak was the enemy of Israel. Balak wanted Israel to be destroyed by a curse. Okay, that was his selfish agenda. For that, he went to Balaam. Okay, you know what? I want to be, continue to be king. I don't want the enemy to trouble me or to kill me or to destroy me. So release a curse against them. That was the desire of Balak's heart. If you know the story, Numbers chapter number 22, 23. So people, you know what? I want a car. You know what? I want that property. You know what? I want this. You know what? I want that. Such people who have fleshy desires, those desires never emerged from the will of God. They go to soothsayers, and soothsayers satisfy their desires by their gift of prophecy. Are we understanding? The church is full of soothsayers today. The church is full of soothsayers today who go on prophesying things over people and satisfying the desires of the hearts of people through demonic utterances and through plantation of demonic spirits in their lives. I want a car, and the soothsayer will say something, you will get a car, but along with the car will come 10 demons in your life, will take you more away from Christ. They are the one who want to win the hearts of people. That's why you will see a lot of people in the congregation of the soothsayer, because he wins the hearts of people, pleases men rather than pleasing God. That is what Balaam was doing. He was trying, but God did not allow him to curse. But he was trying to please Balak against the will of God. Do we see that in the scripture? Those who know the story about Balaam and Balak. So these are the three things about soothsaying I want to tell you. Now turn with me to understand the first thing I told you, that soothsaying is speaking by what? Seducing spirits. Now first, let's look at Balaam the soothsayer, and let's look at what Jesus talks about Balaam in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter number 2. Book of Revelation, chapter number 2, verse number 14. This is what? The testimony of Jesus. Jesus himself speaking to the church of Pergamos. What he's saying there, verse number 14. But I have a few things against you, because you have those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. What he did, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Second, to eat things sacrificed to idols. Third, to commit what? Sexual immorality. Okay? These are the three, what Jesus is saying to the church of Pergamos about Balaam. These three things are the three aspects of soothsaying, are the characteristics of a soothsayer. What he did was taught Balak, that means he had a teaching ministry. He had a doctrine, he had a teaching ministry. What he taught to Balak, I have, go to the YouTube channel afterwards, those who don't know, and search out a sermon called The Teaching Ministry of Balaam. What he taught Balak was basically to build demonic altars so that those altars can capture the voice of demonic spirits, curses against the children of Israel to stop them and to destroy them. That is the teaching of Balaam. The teaching of Balaam is the teaching of building demonic altars and to do demonic spiritual altar activities. Hallelujah. You don't have to have a bathing soap to get blessed, but you will see pastors giving bathing soap. You don't have to have an oil that you put on yourself every day for 7 days to get blessed, but you will see pastors giving anointing oil, selling anointing oil. You don't have to have a handkerchief to put on your head to get healed for 10 days. But you will see, what are those things? Those are doctrines of Balaam. Demonic ritual altar activities. Okay? I'm not going into detail. I have taken those teachings already. It will become too long if I go into those things. Are you understanding? People of God, are you there? If you are understanding, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Demonic ritual activities.
Yeah.
For you amen. To get blessed, what you need to do? What I need to do, brother? Meditate on God's word. Spend time with God. Your prosperity is not related to a use of object or to when you do something with object. That's a ritual demonic activity. That's a ritual demonic activity and building up of demonic altars. I have heard some pastors telling the congregation member, you know, you need a breakthrough and for that you need to bring the blood of a pigeon, bring the blood of the goat to me and give it to me and then you will get your breakthrough. You don't need those things. And they will show you verses from the Old Testament and this and that and manipulate you. What they are following the doctrine of Balaam. They are following the doctrine of Balaam. This great prophet whom the world follows him. Many churches, mega churches in India were established, you know how? By his water. Some pastors from India went to him in Nigeria and this guy gave them impartation and this guy gave them water bottles, spray water bottles. And he told them, go to your church and spray this water on your congregation. They had 10 people in their congregation. They went and sprayed in their church, in their congregation. Within a span of 2 weeks, their church grew into thousands after they sprayed the water. Are we... That's not a growth that came from heaven. That's not a growth that came from God. It came from the doctrine of Balaam. Do we understanding? Are we understanding? Jesus is telling to the church, you are there. There are those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam. Doctrine of Balaam, the teaching ministry of Balaam, teaches people ritual altar activities and to establish that in India, the mega church that is still there. I know a day will come that that church will fall because it is not founded on the rock that is Jesus Christ. It is founded on a demonic altar. And the church looks so powerful, so big. Don't go on the quantity. Don't go. See the roots of it because one day it is going to fall. It is not of God. Are we understanding? The people, Christians who become victims are the Christians who want fast growth, fast breakthrough, fast answers, fast, 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 fast. They are the one who fall into the doctrine of Balaam. They are the one who fall into the trap of the false prophets. Oh, Apostle Raul is teaching here, but we want something fast. I need that car fast. And Apostle Raul does not prophesy those things. So let me go to this prophet in Africa, that prophet in this year, in this place and that place. Your choice. I am warning you through the teaching of the word of God, those anything you want fast, the devil is involved in it. Anything you are getting fast without following a process, without waiting on the Lord, the devil is involved in it. Hallelujah. Doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam. I'm telling you. The doctrine of Balaam. Okay. What did Jesus say in Revelation 2:14? So Balaam, those who hold on to the doctrine of Balaam, what is the doctrine? I told you. He taught Balak, what he taught Balak, to build altars, to do ritual activities, to bring seven bulls, seven this, seven that. Whenever numerology is involved, numerology, you know, understand numerology. When a prophet tells you on the seventh day of the month of September, for seven times, drink this oil. And for seven times, chant Jesus. When a numerology is involved, seven. No, he's a prophet. Because seven is the number of perfection, you know. It's God's number. But a numerology tactics is involved. It's a Balaam doctrine. Are we understanding? You don't need to follow numbers. There are so many videos that people watch on YouTube. This, that, on this date. Someone said, on 12-12, this is Exodus 12-12, Joshua 12-12, Acts 12-12. This is the day that this will happen. Those are nonsense things. Nonsense. And now what 2025 will be coming? They will say 2 plus 2, 4, 4 plus 5, what? 9. So this is the year of this 9. New beginnings. Nonsense. Sorcery. Balaam. It's doctrine of Balaam. Those things are not from the Bible. People of God, you have to understand it. Read your Bible for yourself. You will not see any such things there. The apostle teaching it. These are the doctrines of Balaam. So he taught Balak to build altars, capture the curses of demonic spirits so that he can use it against Israel. He taught Balak to put a stumbling block. The next thing he taught Balak was to, the next thing that is included in the doctrine of Balaam is to eat things sacrificed to idols. What does that mean? Means you can go to the Hindu temple, or you can go to the mosque, or you can eat with them, or you can eat their offerings or anything, and God is pleased with them. God is pleased with them. There is no problem. So they don't target sin. They don't preach about repentance, these guys. They don't talk about repentance. There is a prophet in the US who has a great following, who is a high degree sorcerer, I'm telling you. And he says, people don't come to me to hear repentance. They come to me for miracles, and I will give them miracles. When you hear such things from prophets, get rid of them. Get rid of them, because the gospel is about repentance. You cannot say that. Are you understanding? So they entertain sin. Everything is normalized. That prophet, people hear him. People from America, educated people from USA. They are under his spell. And he says things like, there is nothing in the Bible where it says that that fornication is a sin. You can fornicate. You can sleep with a girl without marriage. And all such things. When you hear such things, he is a soothsayer. He is not the prophet of God. He is a soothsayer. And the day he falls, if you are connected with his altar, you will also fall along with him. I'm telling you, that is how demonic altars operate. They will be famous for a time and season and have a lot of money. But there will come a day when God will strike them and they will fall. And when they fall, all the people, they will not fall alone. They will take everyone who are attached to the altar. So don't be a part of them. Come out of them. Come out of Babylon. Be separate from these kind of people. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? You have to understand these things. The devil, some people who came on the group, you know, 2 weeks back, a lady came from India and I told her about, she is a prophetic dancer and a praise and worshiper. And she told that she had a dream in her childhood, 30 years back, where God showed her. And that is the thing I told her. Now, it was not her phone number, I told her. It was not her address, I told her. I told her something that God showed her 30 years back. How can a man know that? It is only God who can speak like that. And she was so fascinated. But The next week, she told Ruth, "Oh, my pastor told me don't go to that Zoom meeting," and she disconnected from us. What is that pastor? The pastor has the spirit of the snake. They don't want people to grow. I am not making you my church member. I am just facilitating the growth, and God has just brought you here so that you can grow more closer to God. I'm not building my empire here and building up a church where I say people only listen to me, don't listen to anyone. I never say those things to people, never control people. Because the Spirit of God never, but that person never contacted us back, never contacted Ruth back, because she told, my pastor told, who told you to go and tell everything to your pastor that you are going in this meeting, that meeting? If the pastor tells you everything that you do in your life, even the clothes you wear, the person you like, you have to come and report it to me. That's occultic. That's not God, I'm telling you. He's controlling your life. A true shepherd will give you, feed you, and lead you in the ways of God. And you do it by your choice. He will never take things, accountability of things in your personal life. Are we understanding that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
So these guys know me. Whenever anyone from that kind of a church comes to our meeting and they start to grow in the Lord, there were so many people. Earlier also, there was some lady from US. The pastor told her, don't go and listen to those teachings. Why? If they listen to these teachings, they will get out of the prison cells. They will get out of Babylon. So the pastor will tell them, no, don't listen. Some will tell them, oh, Apostle Raul is a false prophet and this and that. Because they know that I am a true prophet. I am a true man of God. But they will tell that to people so that people will stay in prison, that they should not be delivered. Are we understanding? Those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam are insecure about you, are possessive about you, are jealous about you. They behave as if they are your husband. So possessive. Yes. Yes. I will come to that. What the third thing is, to commit sexual immorality. Immorality. That is one of the work of the seducing spirit in soothsaying. You will see the soothsayer not having a healthy life, healthy sexual life. They will be in contact with other women. They will be having women all around them. There was a prophet here in India, and he used to live in his own bought house with some money, and he used to keep all the women along with him in his house. So the woman used to work, the woman used to go here and there and work, come back and stay with him in the house, and he was so-called prophet of God. These guys will be surrounded, these soothsayers will be surrounded by women. And sexual immorality will be certainly found in their life. If today it is not exposed, one day it will be exposed. You are seeing right in the USA, right in Australia, so many pastors are falling down. Why? The reason is sexual immorality. Prophets are resigning. Why? Reason? Sexual immorality. That is one of the symptoms of soothsaying. Let me show you that from the scripture. You will say, where Balaam practiced that sexual immorality. It's there in the Bible. Numbers chapter number 31. Numbers chapter number 31. Numbers chapter number 31. Verse number 16. Numbers chapter number 31. Verse number 16. These women, now this is Moses speaking here. Look, this woman caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has a man intimate, who has known a man intimately. So, in the incident of Peor, what was the incident of Peor? When you look at, we will not go there, but when you look at Numbers chapter number 25, verse number 2, Numbers chapter number 24, verse number 14. When you look at that, what happened in Peor was the people of Israel started to get up and get married with the Midianites women. Why they started to get in relationship with the Midianite women? Because the Midianite women started to seduce the children of Israel, the men of Israel. Seduce the children of Israel. Are we understanding? And who taught them to seduce? Balaam taught them to seduce men. Seductive doctrines coming from seducing spirit. It's a part of soothsaying. You be in their churches, there will be seduction in that person who is a soothsayer by default. Because if a person is soothsayer, they will be sexually immoral, and they will teach, there will be seducing doctrines where they will make the congregation. You go and look at the congregation that follows them, who are mad after them, they are all into adultery and fornication. So Balaam taught this woman how to seduce the men of Israel. Balaam taught this woman how to seduce the men of Israel. That is one of the ways that the devil uses to bring down a man of God. If a man of God is a threat to the devil, if a man of God is praying and his prayer are like tormenting fire against his kingdom, his first device that he can use is to send a woman in the man of God's life to seduce the man of God into a connection with a foreign altar so that he loses the anointing. That is what happened with Samson. The Philistines did not know what to do with this Samson. He is so powerful. He is so mighty. He's destroying us. What to do? At last they found out what we can do. They sent Delilah, the seducing woman, to this man of God. And Delilah seduced her with the beauty. I'm telling you, don't go every time you start to lust after a woman, after a beautiful woman. And even for women, young girls, or even married women, every time you start to see dreams about a man who is handsome and about a person in your life and you start to lust, stop yourself and pray in tongues and break the hold of lust. And God will show you that that person is not beautiful in the spirit realm. That woman is a snake that will come to bite you and poison you. So you got to be very careful. People who serve God have to be very careful. Very careful with your eyes. Very careful with your sexual purity. Very careful. You have to overcome that area. Because soothsayers, if they want to bring you down, they will send. Now that is how Balaam was so wicked. Balaam was not able to curse Israel and stop them. His plans failed when he tried to do that. This is the second thing he was trying to do, to pollute Israel and to stop Israel. He sent seducing spirit. So if a sorcerer is not able to curse you today and you defeated him, you think he's defeated forever? He's not defeated forever. That sorcerer, that soothsayer will come back with a different strategy to again attack you. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So the next aspect of demonic prophecy. These are soothsayers. This is how they function. They function through the utterance of seducing spirits. Their ministry is to serve mammon, and their ministry is to please men. That's the next, that is the aspect, the second revelation of a demonic prophecy. The third revelation of the demonic prophecy is prophecy that comes from the flesh. A demonic prophecy is a prophecy that comes from the human spirit, from the flesh. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter number 13. Ezekiel chapter number 13. Verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart. Underline that. Where is the prophecy coming from? Their human heart. And what is the human heart? Jeremiah says the human heart is wicked above all. It is coming from their human heart, their prophecy. It is coming out of their own heart. And they say, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit, underline own spirit, and have seen nothing. Prophets, be careful. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel, to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord, but the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision? And have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. There is a lot of pressure on the prophetic of who will be on the top. So some who say that they are prophets release a daily video, and they say daily, on a daily basis, God gives them prophetic words. It's nonsense. God says you speak from your own heart and you see things that I have not shown you. And when I am not speaking, you are speaking. That means you are under pressure to be known as a prophet, and you are making things from your heart and to please men. That happens a lot in the prophetic moment. You know, some people, many people ask me questions, Brother Rahul, is it possible that a prophet comes and gives prophecy to every person in the meeting? I told them it's not from God. They are under pressure. They are under pressure. Why? Because they want to be known as a prophet by everyone in the meeting. Yes, a prophet does not function like that. Why they are under pressure? Because they want to be known as a prophet. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That pressure of a prophet? Oh, no, no, no. If I don't give a prophetic word to this person, if I miss this person, if I miss that person, they will not. So I give a prophetic word to every person. That never happens. I am telling you, I operate in the prophetic. That never happens. You see me, only when God speaks about a person, I will sometimes speak about the person, and that will be accurate. That will be a mystery of God for that person. But I will never give prophecies every day to everyone. What I am doing is I am talking out of my own heart. I am speaking things when the Lord has not spoken. Why? Because I am under pressure. There is a competition. I will tell you about a dream. Once I had a dream, and I was going by the road, and many people were traveling and towards a mountain. And I saw myself, I started to climb the mountain. There were many other climbing with me, that mountain. And there was a resting place, like a tent in between, where we were resting. To carry on the further journey towards the top of the mountain. And when I was there in the resting place, there were other Christians around me. And all those Christians were gossiping, speaking against each other. I was just quietly sitting there and looking at them. And some of them, even looking at me, they started to speak negative things about me. They started to say, oh, we will go and complain about him to the supervisor, to this person, to that person. And I said, what is this, Lord? What is happening? And the Lord spoke to me in that dream. He said to me, the place where you are, the mountain where you are, it is the mountain of ministry. And all these people are climbing to be at the top of this mountain of ministry, to be at the top of ministry. And that's why they are backbiting, they are gossiping, they are pulling each other down. Then he said to me, look there. And when I looked, there was a mountain at a distance. And I said, Lord, that mountain is empty. There is no one on that mountain. The Lord said, yes, because that is the mountain of my presence. And no one climbs that mountain. That was a dream I had. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So the person who is under pressure, I know people on YouTube who release a this is what God showed me about what will happen in September. This is what God showed me about the plague that is coming. This is what God showed me about the next lockdown. This is what God showed me. Oh my, how much things God is showing you. Every day. Then tomorrow, this is what God showed me about Donald Trump. This is what God showed me about Joe Biden. This is what God showed me about Kamala Harris. This is what God showed me about India. This is what God showed me about Africa. every day. That is not prophecy. They are speaking out of their own heart. God is not a bullet gun who will shoot prophecies at you one after the other every day. Do you know God speaks less? Because I have heard him. I know how he speaks. He speaks less. He speaks less. Sometimes I seeked him for days, but he did not encounter me because he just wants, he is just delighting to see me seeking, seeking, seeking. And he does not come and speaks as per your time, as per you want. He comes in his own time and you have to be ready. Apostle John said, I was in the spirit on the day of the Lord. There is a day of the Lord. Are you understanding? And that every day, and then the other people are insecure. Oh my God, what is this man? God speaks to him every day, gives him prophecies, and you come under pressure and you leave your Bible aside. Keep your notepad aside. Oh God, I want to hear prophecies. There is nothing that they talk from the word there. They all talk about prayer. This is what I saw. I saw Trump. I saw this. I saw that. I saw this in India. I saw this plague coming. I saw this coming. Nonsense. Prophecy that comes from the flesh. Are you understanding? That's a demonic prophecy. Devil uses the tools of your flesh, of your anxiousness, of your selfishness to become a prophet, to speak through your flesh and to confuse people. That is what Ezekiel is saying there. People of God, can you shout amen? Are you there? Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't circulate those videos. I'm telling you in this. The people in the group, don't listen to them. Don't listen to such people who give a prophecy every day or every 2 days, alternate days. There is a prophecy that comes to them. Hallelujah. What is God saying in Ezekiel chapter number 13? They are speaking out of their own heart. They are foolish prophets. They follow their own spirits. They have seen nothing. But yet they speak. Yet they speak. They have seen nothing. Just to pump up people. Just to tell people, oh, and these are false encouragement. They are futile. They are having false divination. That is the prophecy from the flesh. Let me not go more into it. If you want a detailed teaching on that, go on the YouTube channel. There is a sermon called The Error of the Foolish Prophets. The Error of the Foolish Prophets. So I have covered this passage in that sermon. If you want to know more about it. Okay. So that is the third revelation about the demonic prophecy. The fourth revelation about the demonic prophecy is prophesying by demons or by lying spirits. There are people who prophesy by lying spirits because they have lost connection with God. They are the same soothsayers. And secondly, because they don't want to please God. They want to please the people. They want to please the congregation. So they prophesy by lying tongues. 1 Kings chapter number 22. You might have heard me teaching on this. Some people who have heard me teaching on this, on 1 Kings chapter number 22. Now, go, I don't have time now. You can read it afterwards, 1 Kings chapter number 22. You can read the whole chapter. The whole chapter is about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Ahab wanted to go for war in Ramoth Gilead against Syria. Okay? And Jehoshaphat joined him. And Jehoshaphat said, let us hear from the Lord. Is there a prophet of the Lord whom we can ask the counsel of God before we go for war? So Ahab said, yeah, there are prophets. And there were the prophets who were standing, 400 of them, if I am right. Yes, 400 prophets who were there in Ahab's palace. So what I'm saying is, these 400 prophets, Ahab and Jehoshaphat asked them, what does the Lord say? Shall we go for war? They started to prophesy, all of them. What? Go for war. God has given the enemy in your hands. God has broken the yoke of Syria. This and that and all positive things. You know, positive speaking and all those stuff. Nonsense. And they started to prophesy. And then Jehoshaphat felt a gap because he had a relationship with God. He said, is there not a true prophet here now? And any other prophet whom we can seek an opinion from? So they said, Ahab said, there is a prophet called Micaiah, but I don't hear from him because he never pleases me. That is a true prophet of God who does not please a man. So false prophets go around in collaboration in groups, but true prophets are alone in the secret place. You have to understand that. You will see false prophets in multiple conferences where there is a collaboration. You know, nowadays Christian meetings are like the political pictures, political posters we have in India when there is the political elections and they have all the pictures, 10, 15 people in one picture. Christian meetings are like 10, 15 people in one meeting, all the faces on the poster. 1, 2, 3, 4, this prophet, that apostle, that pastor, this. They work in collaboration. They say together, they encouraging things, speak together. But true prophets of God are actually alone with God. It's not that they are not with the body of Christ, but they are. So he came, he was not there in the palace of Ahab because the speakings did not please Ahab. He was brought. And then Ahab asked him, what do you have to say? And he said, I saw the king, the shepherd of Israel died, that king died, and the Israel is scattered. And everyone went back to their own homes. And Ahab got angry. And then he said, I was in the throne room of God. And God said, who will go and pursue Ahab to go and get killed? And a spirit came up and said, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of Ahab's prophets. So God said, okay, go. And that is the lying spirit by which they were speaking. But this prophet was in the secret place, in the throne room of God, where he understood the original place, the original sound that came from the mouth of God, he knew. So when the sound of God travels through the realms, that is second heaven, first heaven, I have taught on that. When it comes through that, if you catch some sounds from the first heaven, from the realms of the air, from the second heaven, it can be manipulative. For you to understand the accurate prophecy, you have to catch the sound from God's mouth, where it comes from him, the original mouth. Do you know the Chinese whisper game? Have you played the Chinese whisper game, anyone? You know, there is a line of people that are lined up. And so let's say five people are lined up. And the first person has to whisper a sentence in the second person's ears. Then the second person takes the sentence, what he heard, to the third person, the third to the fourth to the fifth to the sixth. And until it goes to the last person, then the last person says that sentence aloud. And it is all manipulated. It was not the original because it went through many people. It did not came directly to the receptor. That is what happens. There is a filtration system of the demonic. And if we are not able to get into the most holy place close to God, we cannot hear him accurately. We will be a victim of prophecy from lying spirits. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said that Mary has chosen the good part to sit close to me and to listen to me. Now, if you have a living room with a kitchen attached to it, the person who is teaching, if I come in your living room and I start to teach, if you are cooking in the kitchen, you will hear, but you will not hear properly because you are cooking and also hearing me in the living room. So you are distracted and some things you will not be able to hear. So God is speaking and people are also hearing, but they are not hearing the accurate word of God. It requires intimacy for you to understand the accurate word of God, to receive the authentic word of God, which Mary did. Mary was close to Jesus. So she received everything accurately. And Jesus said, this is, are we understanding? So false prophets don't have an intimate relationship with God. So what the frequencies that they catch is from the manipulative realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. So it's manipulative. It's not accurate. It's half done. Are we understanding? So these are the four revelations I want to give you about the demonic prophecy. Let me wind up. The first one I told you about the prophecy in the demonic kingdom is based on the events planned by them. They don't know what God has ordained to happen. The second one I told you about soothsaying. Demonic prophecy is soothsaying. The third one, I told you that demonic prophecy comes from the flesh, from the human heart, from the human spirit. Fourth one, I told you that demonic prophecy comes by lying, manipulative spirits when prophets are not able to be intimate with the Lord. And here ends the gift of prophecy. Hallelujah. So there were 10 aspects of the gift of prophecy. This was the 10th one. And I have covered the whole gift of prophecy. And then I will go on discerning of spirits. Then I will go on discerning of spirits. The gift of discerning of spirits. That will be eye-opening, I believe. Hallelujah. But let us keep that for Sunday night. Hallelujah. And let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Rabayam pranto koro fozete, Rabala tokora bambrinda raseterianda, Mo rababa shandara seketerebe. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us thus far. It says, Ebenezer, for thus far the Lord has helped us. You are helping us, Lord. You are helping everyone. And maybe hear your voice. Maybe come back to the first love of devotion to the Bible, Lord. Meditating on the Bible, spending time in your presence. That is what is required by a believer, Father. Oh, Lord, instead of hoping for supernatural miracles, prophecies every day, that has diverted people from the word of your truth. Let them understand, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, your word, the mysteries in your word, Lord. Hallelujah. Are more powerful than the things of the flesh that they seek for. And Father, let them come back to the first love in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as this word is released, I believe it is released in the spiritual atmosphere. It is released in the spiritual atmosphere. And I pray that the hold of soothsayers, Lord, that are there in the churches, Lord, hold of sorcerers, let their power be destroyed. And the doctrine of Balaam be exposed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Many people, Lord, are in prison, Lord. Many people are there willingly, Lord. They don't want to come out. They want to stay there. But many of them are unwillingly there in those prisons. They want to come out. Bring them out, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let them grow, Lord, in the vineyard of the Lord, in the garden of the Lord, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, knowing the true word of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So I pray that you will set people free from the hold of the sorcerers and the diviners and soothsayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, and I cover all the people who are here, even who are not there. I cover them, their families, with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Keep them, Lord. Protect them, Lord. Preserve them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.